Hello and welcome back to another episode of the I'm Learning Mandarin podcast. When I think back to all the Chinese tutors I've had, the best have without fail been people who have a passion for learning languages themselves. They draw on their experience of overcoming language learning challenges to help other learners learn Chinese. And my guest today is a perfect example of this. Jia Qi Lao Shi is an Instagram superstar with over 85,000 followers. She began teaching Chinese while living in Spain a few years ago. She speaks fluent English and Spanish, as well as her native Chinese, and her engaging video clips have helped thousands of Mandarin learners around the world, providing them with comprehensible and compelling input. In this episode, we explore her passion for languages, motivations for becoming a teacher, and tips for learners looking to find engaging Chinese content appropriate to their level.
Okay, so Jia Qi Lao Shi, welcome to the I'm Learning Mandarin podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Great. So I wanted to start by asking you about your background in teaching. So when did you first get into teaching? What was your inspiration for teaching Chinese in the first place?
Well, I was always a big fan of languages. I have always learned languages since I was a kid. And then I got into Spanish when I was at the university. Yeah, I began to actually teach English when I was at the university. And then my full job after I graduated was teaching English to Chinese kids. But after that, I went to Spain. And then I realized it's actually quite difficult to teach English in Spain to Spanish kids if you don't speak very good Spanish. So I began to teach. I'm like, okay, I can teach Chinese actually here in Spain. So, and they're like people asking me, because I went to a lot of language exchanges. So there'll be people coming to me, like, I want to learn Mandarin, can you help me with it? I'm like, okay. So that's kind of like slowly began to teach the language, like study and work has always been related to language learning, different cultures. Yeah, that's like always my interest since I was a teenager, I guess.
That makes sense. So one of the things that marks you out as a teacher and has probably inspired your teaching is that you've always been really interested in language learning. And we've just been speaking in Spanish before we started recording this podcast. So were you always sort of interested in learning languages yourself? And how did that sort of inspire your decision to get into teaching?
Yeah, so I never learned any languages on my own. I always had a teacher or I always joined the course. I was trying to learn Italian on my own, but it was so difficult because I didn't know where to start. You don't have anyone to lead you on the way and you're just like, you're facing pieces of a puzzle. So I do think, like for me at least, I know there are people who have learned languages on their own, Chinese, English. So I do admire those people because I cannot do it. So I always need someone to guide me, like at least through the beginning of the process. Yeah, so I think that's what I'm trying to do with my teaching, especially with the beginners, is I think most of them, they don't really know where to start. So I'm giving them materials and then tools. And then with my lessons, I can guide them through the process to like a lower intermediate level so that they could have like a general understanding of the language to be able to like have a solid base.
So you said that previously you were working as an English teacher. And yeah. When did you then transition, or were you always working both as an English teacher and a Chinese teacher? Or when did you kind of start doing Chinese teaching?
I guess many times when we choose our careers, it's like 60% or 70% of it is like a question of how, of making a living. So I quit school in Spain and then I went on traveling, but I didn't have money. So what can I do online? I was like, okay, I'm going to teach Chinese. So I was like back in 2020. Well, I do find like this is very interesting because I feel teaching Chinese people and then teaching foreigners are very different because, you know, Chinese people will have grew up in a very strict education environment. So it's difficult to put like new things or creative things into the class because their parents always want you to get a better grade and then do homework and then memorize vocabularies and everything. So I kind of wanted to get out of that circle. So I began to like do experiments with teaching Chinese because then you're facing a different audience. And I think that works pretty well because CIs, I feel like you're not using a book. and you're actually using all materials. You can do a lot of things with it: movie talk, picture talk, calendar talk, making stories together. That's actually the main reason, one of the main reasons why I am actually teaching Mandarin instead of English. Well, so back to the topic, I was traveling. I had to make some money to be able to move around. Well, I was like doing work away. I was doing volunteer job in exchange for accommodation and food, but they don't cover the transportation fee. So I had to sort of make it on my own. So yeah, so I did that. And then I realized I want to make this into my career. So I began to teach on the platform, and I began to like have students to practice. In the beginning, I was a really bad teacher because, you know, I feel like I know how to speak Mandarin, but knowing how to speak and how to teach are two totally different things. So I didn't even know how to teach Pinyin. I had my first student who's like 66, 67 years old, a Spanish lady. She had so many patience with me in the beginning, because I was like, why is she still learning with me? But yeah, that's basically like the very beginning journey of me teaching Mandarin.
So you said at the beginning you learned a lot like through the experience of being a teacher. So what were some of the main things that like at the beginning you felt were most challenging when trying to teach Chinese? Because from the perspective of a learner, like one thing I've noticed with a lot of teachers that I've had in the past is that although obviously they're fluent in Mandarin, it's their native language, like you said, they sometimes find it quite challenging to know how to help learners face specific challenges. And one of the main ones that we've talked about on this podcast before is, for example, you know, pronunciation, tone. A lot of teachers are sort of don't really know what to do to help. So did you find there were a lot of those aspects of Mandarin that you weren't really sure at first? How do I get them to face this challenge and improve in this area?
As what you've mentioned with the tones and pronunciations, I got stuck on them as well as a teacher, because you'll be teaching tones and pronunciations for months without seeing a lot of results. So like teacher will get like frustrated as well, because which probably can mean what I'm teaching is not valuable, it's not helping them. Well, first off, I think like people who speak different languages, they have different experience with tones. I don't know what's your experience with tones, but and pronunciations. For example, I have Spanish students, and because in Spanish there are only five vowels, it will be difficult for them to actually distinguish 滋滋滋、滋滋滋。But if you speak English and then you already have those sounds in your language, so that makes it a lot easier. And also I noticed that if you're a musician and then your ears are more trained to recognize the tones, so they're really good at tones. They need some practice, but they could hear the difference. And then with many language learners, that their language, native language, not tonal, so they need to train, have a period of time to actually train their ears to get to notice what are the difference between the first, the second, the third, and the combination. So later on, I realized it's a really long journey, and actually it works different on different people. So now, like in my courses in the beginning, I'm not really focused on the tones, so give them enough materials to let them listen. But I think one thing very important for beginner learners is that don't get too stuck on the tones and the pronunciations, because you still speak, like even with some of the tone wrong, you still have to speak sometimes. You don't have to wait for everything to be perfect and then to speak. So I think it's a very long and slow process, and you're like improving yourself every day. So just chill and don't take it too seriously, I think. Because I have students where they're so stuck with tones that they're not involved in the language learning. They could be spending 1 year only focusing on the pronunciation and tones, and even later on when they begin to speak, they'll worry too much about the tones and pronunciation. I think it is okay to make mistakes as long as you are a very conscious learner. So I do realize there's some learners, they don't realize how native people speak. They don't realize the difference. So I think that's where people keep making mistakes. Like earlier, what I told you before, like the pronunciation of leche in Spanish, is after I spent like 2 or 3 months in Spain, and just within like that moment, I realized how they're actually pronouncing it. But before, I've heard like thousands of times, but I didn't realize how they pronounced it. I think it's about those two things. So do not be afraid of making mistakes, but at the same time, be cautious of how other people are speaking.
What other issues other than tones have been major challenges that you found your students find it hard to overcome and that you found it challenging to help them on?
Being able to stop thinking in their own languages or language that they're familiar with and then begin to think in Chinese because every language has its own culture. It carries the culture, the personality of the country. So we become kind of like a different person when we speak another language. I found people always translating. I think it's kind of like a habit for people to translate in the beginning because you don't have any database of sentences, words. So you're just trying to see what probably could work. That's why I think the CI method and TPRS are quite good because it helps you in the beginning to actually think in the target language instead of translating all the time. Yeah, I think it's sometimes you could meet like intermediate level students and they're still translating, but they're like more advanced translators. Yeah, so I think that's like the most challenging part for a language learner. Because I think once you have changed your mindset, the way how you think in a language, that could change the whole story of how you speak it. Even probably you could only know 100, 200, 300 words, but you could express yourself like a lot using those words. Right, I remember I had the experience with Spanish as well, because I was working in a bar in Barcelona, and then, because when there are like no clients, you're just talking to like certain clients that always come to the bar. And then I was practicing my Spanish every day in the bar, and then I said something to him, and then he's like, "You speak English, right?" "I can hear your English." And that's when actually I realized I have to say the way how Spanish people say it.
Exactly. And I mean, relying on English to speak Spanish is, but I think the problems are even bigger when it's Chinese, English to Chinese, because the differences are so much, you know, the differences in the grammar are like so stark. What about then like characters? Because that's another thing. Students often talk about how difficult characters are. Have your students, has that been a challenge for you with your students?
I think one thing that for teachers could do, well, after my own experience of learning language or being a teacher, is that don't tell people that it is difficult in the beginning, because then people will study the language with that mindset that this is difficult. I think characters are complicated. It's something that I have to take time. Of course, it's not like 26 letters in English. If you're not in a hurry, and we cannot learn language in a hurry, I think I always tell my students to begin with simple things, just to do the things that you feel that you can achieve. And then just take it easy. Don't make it such a big deal, because the way that Chinese people have learned characters, we learned characters just by recognizing, relate the sounds to the characters, and then a lot of writing. I think if you don't have a lot of time, if you're not interested in writing with your hands characters, you could practice the greedy readers and then read them out loud, and then so that you could associate the sounds with characters, so next time you wouldn't need the pinyin to help you with it. I think like tones and pronunciations, it takes time, so it's accumulation, because you always accumulate more characters. I think in the beginning, just try to recognize them and know the sounds of them and the tones. I think that's enough for beginners.
I'm glad you said that, because I've had previous teachers. Like, I remember when I was a beginner, I had teachers who were very adamant that you must write by hand. You must learn to write by hand.
That's how we learned it.
And I said, but I don't want to learn to write by hand. I don't think I need to. They wouldn't accept it. They would just say, you must learn to write by hand. It's absolutely essential. It's a core part of our culture, which I'm sure is true. I think that students should definitely have that choice. And the fact is, writing them out by hand is going to be extremely laborious, and you're not going to have time to do other things that you might want to do, like focusing on recognizing the characters visually and focusing on speaking. And another point that you made was that like you can learn to recognize them visually by reading grave readers. In my case, I also used flashcards and learned to recognize thousands of characters visually. And type them using pinyin without writing them out by hand. And that's something that like I only learned was possible because at the beginning, my teacher used to say, you need to write them out by hand. I thought that in order to learn to read, I needed to learn to write them out by hand. It was only after 2 years of learning that I realized, no, you can draw flashcards, you can use graded readers, you learn to recognize the characters visually without writing by hand. So you have
written like Chinese characters for 2 years?
Yeah, I like started out writing them. My teacher forced me to do that. And then I got to about 500 and then I discovered flashcard apps. When I discovered flashcard apps and graded readers, after a week, I realized, oh, there's loads of new characters here that I can't write them out by hand, but I can recognize them visually. I didn't realize that was possible. So now I'm just going to do that because that's way more efficient and easier. And I don't have to write out by hand. I don't have that requirement. If I have that requirement in future, then I'll go back and do that. But I wrote a blog about that. There's a lot of people who say, like, if you can't write out by hand, then you're not literate. I'm like, well, however you want to define literate doesn't bother me. Like, I can do what I want to do, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah, I feel like also one thing for adult learners and kid learners is that when we're like a kid in primary school, we have a lot of time to actually dedicating time on many things. We could write characters for 1 hour, and it doesn't matter, like, but now, like as an adult, we have job, probably have family, kids. So I think it's smart to focus on the things that actually will help you to get to where you want to go. If your goal is to write character perfectly, and then you could do it. But if your goal is to speak, and then probably it's not that effective for you to practice characters with your hands every day. Yeah, and then this is like what I realized after, because I study Spanish full time. I had 4 hours. 4 hours a day of lessons, and then I would organize my notes after class. I would listen to Spanish videos, and then at night I would go to Spanish language exchanges. So it's I was studying like, I don't know, 8-9 hours every day, and I was in that environment, so my Spanish improved quite quickly. But I think for people who are actually doing online lessons with most of my students, they only have 2 hours or 3 hours of having lesson with me. So that kind of really, it does like make the process slow. There are a lot of videos there, like a person has learned a language within 8 months, within a year. It is possible, but I think you need to dedicate a lot of time. You have to be a very smart learner. You know where you're going instead of your goals to reach it. But I don't think it works for all the people.
Absolutely. I wanted to go back to talking about comprehensible input because that's one of the focuses of your teaching and also something we talked about here a lot on this podcast. And I think one of the main ideas around comprehensible input, which is Stephen Krashen's idea, part of the input hypothesis, is that one of the most important things that's central to acquiring a new language is to read and listen to as much interesting, compelling, and comprehensible content as you can, and you'll gradually absorb the language. And that's played a central role in my learning. But I wonder, like, as a teacher, I guess one of the things that a lot of students face is, like, especially at a lower level, they're not sure where they can find appropriate content that they could immerse in, like comprehensible content. What do you advise students starting out that they should kind of, where should they go to like start out with comprehensible content? Because if they only know, you know, a few characters, where can they start?
Well, there are a lot of YouTube channels on comprehensible input videos. One channel that I know, well, we know personally as well, she's a really good TPRS teacher, and so her channel is called Comprehensible Chinese, and she put all her different level of videos in different categories. I think her videos are quite good. And then I have my YouTube channel, but I don't have that many videos. I have like 30-40 videos, and I didn't divide them like very clear into different levels. I think once you get to like know the very basic things with those videos, you have to find like a very simple videos. There is one channel called Click Mandarin. So she uses characters and pinyin in her video and translations. It could be easier for some people to follow up in the beginning. If you have no knowledge of the language, you don't know the characters, you don't know the sounds, you don't know the pinyin. And before that, if you could search up a bit of concept of language, you know what, you know, you probably don't know like what's the relation between pinyin and character. You could have like a general knowledge of the language and then begin to listen to very simple videos. I think there's also one called Acquiring Mandarin on YouTube that you can follow them. When you finish all the beginner videos and you feel like you understand most part of it, and then I think you can begin with greedy readers when you have like a simple base of vocabulary characters. And then like shadowing. So when I listen to something, I always repeat what this person is saying to see the difference of our pronunciations, also to practice, because in the end we have to practice how we pronounce sentences, how we communicate with other people. I know like for Spanish learners, there are like Jimmy Spanish student, so Pablo. So he has learned Thailand Thai only by listening and without speaking in the beginning. I never tried this method, so I cannot say that I cannot tell my students that you can do this and it will work. So my students, they are gonna get a lot of input, but at the same time, they can reproduce what's in the video and then repeat to practice. I think that's how you can actually begin with the language. And if you feel like you're stuck somewhere, and it's always good to have a teacher, maybe once a week, just to talk about the problems that you have.
One other place that people can go to for some comprehensible input is your Instagram channel, which has like lots of short videos with clips, very useful clips for learners about different situations, introducing new vocabulary, like exposing people to some quite simple Chinese in a comprehensible way that's engaging. Tell us a bit more about why you started that channel and what you're trying to achieve with that.
Well, in the beginning, we're talking about realistic things. In the beginning, I was trying to get off the platform that I was teaching at because it's so competitive. You don't get paid that much. You cannot ask for a high rate. That's the reason why I got on Instagram and start on my own and then do my own school, do my own things. And then one thing that I found really helpful in language learning is funny videos. Because when I learn a language, I love funny videos. So I feel like when this video is funny, and even though you don't understand, but you don't understand the whole thing. If they're funny enough, if their body language are very rich, you want to watch it again. So you get like a very big amount of repetition. I want to say like my intention is to make the learning fun in the beginning. And I'm glad people really like that. And also with the YouTube video as well. I think it's very important to make video engaging and fun so that people can go back to it many times.
Absolutely. And I will put links in the description to the Instagram channel and the YouTube channel so that people check it out. Just to finish off, then, I'm wondering whether you can tell us what your kind of plans are for the future with your teaching or any other plans that you might have.
Some of the people might have noticed that I haven't posted for a really long time, for a few months on Instagram and YouTube. It's not that I'm not going to do it. I'm going through a lot of changes in my job, and I've been reflecting a lot what I really want to bring to people with my accounts, with my teaching. I am in a school of consciousness in Spain for like 2 years now, and really has transformed my life. It has made me to realize, like, to see myself differently, and then to see the world differently. So they have given us so many useful tools to face what we're facing every day. I call them storms, because in the language when you face your storm as well, people get frustrated very easily, but they don't know why, and they don't know how to deal with their frustration. And so many people are depressed out there, and they don't know why, and they don't know how to deal with them. So I think I want to offer something that's not just informative. That's not just giving more information and techniques, but also something that could help them in all aspects of their life. So I'm not like creating this course and all the contents to bring more. I would like to bring more awareness into people's life along with the Mandarin learning process. So. Yeah, so it's very exciting because I have planned it for like several months. It's something that I really want to do from my heart. And I feel like it's really beneficial for the people who want to not only improve their Mandarin, but also want to improve as a human being and to be a better self and to understand more why this is happening to me, why I am like this. Yeah, so this is like what I'm planning on doing at the moment.
It sounds amazing, and we'll definitely look out for that on your channels over the monthly announcements about new updates. So once again, thank you for joining us today. It was really interesting to hear about your journey, both living in Spain, learning Spanish, and also teaching Chinese, the different challenges involved in that, and how you've been helping students. So once again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. That was a really pleasant conversation. And it's a surprise to discover that we both speak Spanish. Yes, so probably we could do some Spanish content in the future as well. I'll be honored. Thank you.
Hey there. Thanks for listening to this episode of the I'm Learning Mandarin podcast. If you're currently looking to improve your Mandarin speaking skills, you might like to check out my Peak Mandarin newsletter. Run by me and my friend Will Hart, we share exactly what you need to do to become fluent in Chinese based on our experience. Subscribe to the newsletter and we'll also send you a free copy of my ebook, Lessons from a Chinese Learning Phenomenon, which tells the story of exactly how Will Hart learned to speak near native level Chinese within a 1.5-year period, how I put his techniques into practice to become fluent myself, and how you can too. To subscribe to the newsletter, you can go to peakmandarin.com or click the link in the description. That's all for now. Until next episode, goodbye.